The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
And welcome once again to A Game Center Radio. This
morning.
Is your host, Mark.
How are
Doris.
You?
With me in the studio, I have Hassan Godwin, who already said hi.
Who? Who's that?
And I have a special guest sitting in.
Yes.
It's a friend of the show.
Friend of
Mark
show.
Mark Mattis. Say hi, Mark.
How you doing, buddy?
From Atlas Unleashed Entertainment, right?
That's us.
Yeah, see? I remember.
I hope so.
Right, where are you
He's
from
a friend
again?
Of the show.
Well, I didn't say it was a friend of mine. He's a friend of the show.
He's a friend of the show.
No. Two different things.
Yeah, we're actually not friends with him at all. But,
and,
but the show loves him.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Charlie, who was back from Parts Beyond last week, mm-hmm. He came back
he
after
went
like
back
3 weeks.
To,
he went back to the Parts because he left some parts over.
Because they were parts unknown. He's charting the parts unknown so that they will no longer be charts parts unknown. Yeah, charts
so,
unknown.
So Charlie's MIA.
Yes, he's MIA.
We know where he is.
At parts
he's
unknown.
Parts unknown.
Well, is unknown he's gonna, actually charted now? Or?
He's going to start a company called Charts Unknown.
Oh, that's
of,
great.
Of, of all the things that he has charted while he was
it's
away from
be
the
a
radio
big
show.
Blank paper because it's unknown.
Yeah, but he's going to make it known.
So then it's be charts
That's how
known.
He's going to make his mark.
It'd be charts known.
Well, it's the unknown part is the ambiance of it. That's the majesty of
it's
it.
The mystique.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's going to get people to pay money for it, to shell out.
It's like modern art. It's just a line. Oh, this is great.
Yes. So yes, and people are that dumb.
Here's a chart of nothing. What was that? It's a polar bear fighting an Eskimo in a snowstorm.
In a snowstorm.
In front of an igloo.
Yeah.
Sounds like you should get some work from Wall Street. We don't know what we're doing, but here's the line.
Yeah, and here's a bucket of money.
Bucket of money.
Yeah, a bucket of
money. Not our money, their money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So if anybody's having any trouble on the air, you can go online to am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on live audio streaming.
I have a couple of friends who are having trouble listening to it live on audio streaming.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they need to get their computer fixed. Or or they can use those newfangled things called smartphones.
Smartphones.
And they can hear us on the smartphone. If you go to places
there
such
three
as...
three smartphones sitting on the table here. What's going on?
We're smart guys.
Can we network them?
I don't know.
Can we get a Genius phone?
What is it? iHeartRadio and MyTunes. If you go to any of those places, you can actually hear us on the radio.
Really?
On
right
a phone,
now?
On a radio right now.
Oh, I should have told them that. I should have told my friends that before I...
Before you told them to listen to the show that they
Son,
can't
Son, how many people are we talking about here? Is this two?
Mrs.
Three?
Henderson.
70.
Dr. Fabersham.
70.
I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Well, it's Mrs. Henderson and Dr. Fabersham.
Yeah,
right?
Mrs. Fabersham.
Oh, no,
Mrs. Dr.
Fabersham.
Henderson.
70 has a very unique connotation to it. It's also the same amount of people in an encounter group.
Whoa!
Oh, look at that.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't even know that.
Yes.
That's okay.
You were blowing people away with that number.
Yeah, but... I didn't know what I was doing.
Okay.
I honestly didn't know it.
And also on the GBB website, there's the high-definition web camera, which you can see us right now on live and saying hi right up there above the clock.
Oh, that just in the back of my head. That's okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
I'm like Cousin It.
Yeah. But you got the glasses on the wrong way, so they know. They know for a fact that never mind.
Well, my glasses don't do anything for me anyway, so I'll just put them back in my head with everything we saw.
They're placebos? Is that
no, they just have become ineffective.
Oh.
Yes.
He uses them to pick up chicks. And they, since he's married, he doesn't use them.
No. Believe me, they don't work to do that either. So,
and the phone number here is area code 631-888-8811. Not 12 or 13-11. Let me take it away with the news.
Take it away with the news, Mark.
Let's see. For those of you who love comics and comic book stores, part of its ongoing efforts to grow the comic book specialty market, Diamond Comic Distributors has announced a new initiative with leading suppliers to encourage existing retailers to open new locations and or relocate their current stores to larger, higher traffic locations. It's basically they're saying, here's some stuff, expand, bring us money.
Okay.
That's a good move.
Such things are increased discounts of up to 69%, not 70, off orders of backlist products, a program of a backlist consignment, which allows retailers to fully stock their stores with graphic novels, trade paperbacks, and other merchandise with extended payment terms, and the ability to adjust stock levels after 6 months.
So do you think that includes like Mego model sets? Because, you know, if they did that, that would actually be a really cool thing. Right?
Yeah. Well, if you could actually get some stuff that you're actually looking
for. If you can get a Mego model set at 69% off and then resell it, that's pretty cool.
Oh, see, now you brought in the nefarious part of it. Well, it's not for your own.
You can't keep all of the same Mego model sets, you know, 13 of each.
Yeah, but it's not for your own, you know, your own expanding collection.
No, I want to see these model sets in the comic stores. It's a great combination.
But you want him to sell it, or you just want him to have it in the store?
Just have.
No, see, so he doesn't have to sell it then.
No, but I mean, once you buy it for 69% off and then resell it, it just becomes a capitalism ploy now. It's not a magnanimous retail extravaganza. It's just plain capitalism.
I just want to see a wall full of Mego model sets behind every comic retailer. I think it would add some ambiance to all the stores.
I'm not disagreeing with you 100%.
And also, they're going to give out store starter kits.
What's a store starter kit? Well, you start a store?
Pencils?
Well, basically, they're giving away selections of free trade paperbacks, graphic novels from participating publishers.
Start a store anywhere you want.
That showcase the vast depth of comic stores and retailers around. So there are participating comic book companies right now that are willing to give away their stuff for free.
Wait, you mean to tell me they're going to give away copies of Dark Phoenix Saga to these stores?
That's quite possible.
You know?
Wow.
They could actually sell those.
But they might give them away for free.
I got mine for free. I interned at Marvel, and they gave me one for free. That Dark Phoenix and the Asgardian Wars. I felt like I robbed a bank.
Like gold or something.
Yeah, I felt like I robbed a bank. I got walked out, like, and I got like on the way home. I got the slightest crease in the back cover.
So when you interned at Marvel, didn't you have that one pristine moment when you walked outside and you went, "Oh my god, oh my god, I work at"?
No.
And his William.
I had that
didn't
moment.
Have that moment?
I had that moment when I walked in and there was a giant Spider-Man.
He greeted you. Yeah.
There was a giant Spider-Man.
I had the opposite moment because when I worked at DC, I had Spider-Man come up to me at a convention and say, "You got to help me out, Mark. I can't stand it here anymore. I want to work for DC." So the first thing I did when I walked in the door the next day at DC was I wrote a memo to all the senior VPs that Spider-Man wants to work at DC.
Wait, you got Spider-Man a job? You got Spider-Man a job at DC?
You bet your ass.
Spider-Man works at DC now.
You'll never know because he's got the mask.
He took his mask off.
No one will ever know.
So some guy who strongly resembles Peter Parker is wandering around the halls of DC.
You know, I really didn't bother to look under the mask. I just knew that it was Spider-Man.
You just gave some random guy in a Spider-Man costume a job at DC.
Of course.
Because
he had web shooters, you know?
So that's the plan out there, folks. Dress up as a character and go to
Mark
the
Mask.
Opposite company.
Yes.
And ask for a job.
Well, you got to understand, if Spider-Man's sitting there begging, "Oh, please get me out of here." What do you say to Spider-Man?
Was he some poor stooge that they kept putting in the Spider-Man outfit every time they went to do
a
convention?
No, but I got to tell you, that memo went around D.C. so many times. It must have circled around 5 times in 15 minutes. Yeah. People were just rolling out of that chair. I mean, I even had the moment with Mr. Paul Levitz, who just chuckled as he walked by me in the hallway that day.
Man, that's crazy.
If you can get Paul to crack up like that, that's not bad.
Okay,
I've heard legends. I've heard stories.
Oh, here's moving along.
Oh,
moving right along.
We're doing so good in the last subject.
NBC.
Oh, NBC
decided to.
Nobody
bring
cares.
Back
That's what NBC stands
for. No, wait. NBC is important. Come on.
NBC means nobody cares. That's what it stands for.
Wasn't it Nothing But Cosby?
Yes, that was way back.
Way back.
That was 20 years ago.
Well, speaking of way back, they decided to bring back the old school Dracula. The series will find Dracula posing as an American in Victorian London. Though he feigns a desire to introduce modern science, he actually seeks revenge. His plans are disrupted when he falls in love with a woman who seems to be his reincarnated wife.
Wait. Does Dracula sparkle in this one?
No, they're saying it's old school Dracula, so it's not Twilight.
Wait, who's playing Dracula? I just saw this article.
Couldn't they get like Liberace to be, you know, Dracula?
Liberace.
Yeah, then it gets sparkled.
Someone's specific is playing Dracula, though.
Yes, members, no follow-up questions. I forget the guy's name. It wasn't on my paper.
You forgot his name.
Because it's not on my paper.
We're so bad at the news.
What's that guy's name?
It's Frank.
Did we think it would be Paddington, something like that?
We do so bad with this news. Yeah, Patterson.
Frank Patterson.
No, it's not Frank Patterson.
It is Frank Patterson.
Keep going with the news.
For all intents and purposes, it's Frank Patterson.
Roll the news.
Not Frank Patterson.
And speaking of Frank Patterson, he announced that.
You got a segue?
We actually.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mr. Segway used to come in and say Mr. Segway, and then he left. But that was. He's in parts unknown also. It has been officially announced.
Has it?
That The Hobbit, which was originally intended as a two. Film adaptation of the book is now going to be a trilogy, provided the logistics work out. For example, signing new deals with all the cast members involved.
They got them finished already. So how
they finished the two, and they're thinking about going back.
Do they have extra film that they filmed to make the third film, or is the third film just like the outtakes?
The outtakes.
Oh my god!
On a banana peel. Supposedly. They have a whole bunch of extra footage lying around.
Of course. They always have extra footage lying around.
If they go and recast, bring back the cast members, and they can add it in, they'll actually make it into a third film.
It'll be the patchwork film.
What's the third film going to be? Didn't they finish? Aren't they technically finished with The Hobbit?
So they can just add like a middle part.
Oh my God. They're going to add like a middle part? That's your. Look, don't report the news if you can't elaborate.
Some glue and put it back
together.
That's
crazy.
Well, let's see what the executives have to say.
Oh, Lord. I hate the executive.
The executive say, if we're going to do it,
oh, Lord.
We have to make a decision soon. It's strongly driven by the filmmaker's desire to tell more of the story. It's about taking
more
a chance
money.
To tell more of the incredible
strongly
tale
influenced
with the
by
cast
our desires to make a
assembled.
Ton of money. We can make more money with three movies than we can with two. That is the logic behind it.
The third one will be called The Hobbit. Return of Mo' Money.
Where'd The Hobbit? Where'd the money go?
Where the money at?
Where the money at? It's true. That's ridiculous. First of all, that book is like 200 pages. It's not even a long book. It's at most, it's 300-something pages.
But you know, if you put more space between the letters, you could add like another 100
pages. That's for
double
a
space.
Book.
Double space.
You can't bleed three movies out of a script. That's crazy.
They made a movie out of an 8-page book.
Well,
what
you know,
movie?
The
1408, the Stephen King short story.
Oh my God.
I remember that because I saw the movie.
That's a different story.
It was based on a short story by Stephen King. And I actually read it. I was like, wow, that was like really like a little tiny bit of the
never
book.
Never mind.
It was in a movie. They can do it.
No, they can't. They don't even have. Listen, you're wrong. Because even though they can make a movie out of 8 pages, which is fine, okay, they're out of pages. They can't make a movie out of no pages. If you've already finished the two movies, then you can't go and squeeze a third one out.
Can't you find that chapter that was cut out that's lying on the typewriter floor?
Yeah,
that you claim you found.
Oh,
yeah, lost footage.
We found notes by Tolkien.
It was on the back and the bottom.
Yeah,
in the corner.
Right.
Or you know you can just
no.
Have
you know what? Why don't you
get an extended fight scene?
They're gonna make the before Hobbit movie. It'll be all the adventures before the Hobbit.
See,
that'll be the third film.
Go ahead, both of you. Go get a big spoon and eat it up. Eat it up.
Well, you know, I'm not going to be eating it up.
Suckers!
I haven't seen the other three yet, I'm behind the curve.
So then what are you even arguing with me about it
for? Because it's funny.
No, it's not.
I think it's hilarious.
No, of course you think it's hilarious.
Speaking of other stuff that's hilarious.
I'm not part of the news anymore.
It seems that at the black panel at the San Diego Comic-Con, which is what it's called, the black panel, Shaquille O'Neal, of all people, announced that his company, Shaq Entertainment, is getting into the comic book business. So then we'll be seeing comic books done by Shaq. So if you guys remember Shaq and the Super Lakers, he's going to have his own comic book out there. And remember, he fought a Godzilla in the basketball. No, that's Charles Barkley. No, he had Shaq Fu.
Wasn't Shaq in Steel?
Shaq was in Steel. He played Steel.
He was the main character, right?
Yeah, he also played a genie in Kazam. Okay. Was it Kazam?
I think we all like Shaq. I just don't think we like Shaq as, you know,
Hassan. Hassan's is maybe. Hassan's not a...
Hassan's
I'm not part of the news.
You're not going to engage with Shaq.
Bailed.
Huh?
I bailed because you guys are accepting this Hobbit baloney, Bologna. And I don't... I'm not talking to either of you anymore.
All right, well, speaking...
It's going to be a short show.
Well, speaking of the black panel... No, nothing? All right, fine. It has been announced that Denzel Washington...
That it's racist to have a black panel at a modern-day convention.
Standing behind the creators is this big black field. That's why they call it the black panel.
Right.
There you go.
Sure.
Well, they don't turn the lights on.
Me too.
They turn the lights off. It's a black panel because they're
all right. You know what? That was a real stretch. I'm sorry you even went there.
It has been announced that Denzel Washington has been cast to play none other than the Equalizer in the movie version of the TV show of the same name that starred Edward Woodward.
That's crazy.
For those of you who don't know, The Equalizer was a little show.
It was English. About an English spy.
A former special agent operation.
English that came to America.
And fight for justice. Denzel
can
man.
Talk with an English accent. Huh? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
But Denzel could do an English accent.
Sure, what about the guy?
Yes, he can. He's done it.
I've seen... I'd like to see him do a Scottish accent.
He did a movie called For Queen and Country. Where he was English.
See? Well, he was English?
Mm-hmm.
See, so there you go.
Speaking with the brogue?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they call it a brogue if it's English. I think that's just Irish. I don't know. Never mind. But
you're splicing these things.
I'm just trying to be a little
I just
accurate.
Say they all come from the island over there, you know?
Yeah, they all come from that place where they make white people.
Wow.
That's where white people come from. There's a factory over there.
The factory, the generation of the... Yeah. They just stamp them out. Yeah. Stick them on boats.
The white panel?
Huh? That's in the white panel. You learn that in the white panel. But they can't say it in the black panel because that would be racist. Along with having a black panel, which I think is pretty racist. So.
Now we got to get into the more serious and sad news.
No, there's no need to get into the serious.
We have serious and sad news.
Serious and sad news.
Let's see. We'll start off with...
Is one serious and one sad, or are they both seriously sad?
They're both serious and sad. Okay. Let's see. Sally K. Ride, first U.S. woman to travel into space on...
First June. Woman in space.
U.S. woman, I believe, because I think there was a Russian woman that went first.
Yes.
Yeah. Was there?
You're a cosmonaut, yes.
Yeah.
What was her name?
I really don't know.
So then don't tell me. I think I know for a fact that... All right, fine.
Well, that would have been a very funny-looking cosmonaut. the outfit looked distinctly different.
Her name was Yuria Gagarin. It was his brother.
It was Natasha Romanoff.
Wow.
Natasha Gagarin.
This is the politically incorrect version of It Came From the Radio.
When is it not?
Who was the first? Was his name in the first man in space?
Why would you say it's Romanov instead of Romanova, which is actually Russian?
Mm.
You can't say Romanov. Romanov is not. It's not a.
Because that's the name that popped in my head. That's why.
Yeah, Romanova. He's thinking of Scarlett Johansson, which is not Russian.
Oh, yes.
Who? What's the name of the first man in space?
What was the guy's name? He was on the moon. What was the guy's name in the first name?
Yuri Gagarin. Oh. He was a Russian. Okay. I know that one. I don't know what the
was
first...
Was his name Arnov or something?
No. No, it wasn't. Quiet, Mark Maz.
Arnov Klustov. You just don't know about that.
He was Mr. Eisenstein Ustin Finster.
No, he was aboard that...
He was with the space shuttle.
That, you
know. He wasn't supposed to be. He was stowed away. Yeah. He was in, like, the
he
cargo.
He was up with the dog, right?
And then
he accidentally
and
pressed launch instead of lunch.
And they met wacky aliens. They solved crimes.
Stowed away.
They solved crimes in outer space. And they had a band.
That's the worst concept for a show I've ever heard of.
Leap is a kooky guy, remember?
Keep reading.
She died. See, this is sad news. She died on Monday.
Wait,
after
a moment of silence for Sally, right? Next.
Dead air.
She died after a 17-month battle with pancreatic cancer.
That's too bad.
She was
That's
only sad. 61.
Oh, she's so young.
And yeah.
Yeah, pancreatic cancer is serious. I mean, you get that and that's it.
That's supposed to be it, right?
Yeah.
That's
they it's like as they're telling you. That's it.
That's not. Well, she fought it for 6 months, so you can do battle. Yeah. You just can't win, apparently, but you can do battle.
And along the news of sad news, actor Sherman Hemsley, best known for his role as George Jefferson. In All the Family and the Jeffersons, which ran from
Not to be confused with the Jetsons.
Right. Which ran from January 18th, 1975, all the way through June 25th, 1985, had died of natural causes at his home yesterday.
How old was he?
He was 74.
74 is young. They're all going so young.
His role on...
So Sherman?
Sherman Hemsley.
Sherman Hemsley.
Was he ever in space?
No. You're thinking of Sherman.
Sure?
You're thinking Sherman Tank, which also was not in space. You're thinking William Tecumseh Sherman, who was the first Civil War general who was in space.
We have to say it like it is. Sherman was a genius.
Sherman's March? Are you talking?
No. Sherman Hemsley? Sherman Hemsley was a genius because he had such a convoluted role to play, and it was great.
He was the black Archie Bunker. That
exactly
was his point.
Who he is. The whole point of that was he got all of us to laugh at the situation of reversing the role with Archie saying, see?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it was just a brilliant role, and he played it very well. I mean, I'm sure that didn't come off the top of his head.
See, my favorite character was Mr. Bentley, though. I always loved Mr. Bentley.
Mr. Bentley.
The guy who lived down the hall, the strange English guy that lived down the hall.
He was pretty strange.
Yeah, he was. He was out of his mind.
They always slammed the door in his face.
And the doorman, who was always looking for a payoff.
Yeah.
There were good characters. Florence, who almost got her own show.
Well, she did.
One of my favorite moments is when Edith is talking to... George's wife, what was her name again?
Louise Jefferson, Wheezy.
And Wheezy offers her a job working for George. And she was a lady just like, great. You know, I can go to work now. She tells Archie, and Archie's like, oh, my God, you can't work for George Jefferson. It's a great moment.
George was the only guy who could stand up to Archie. Archie came first, and the Jeffersons were a spinoff.
Right.
But it was like a weird spinoff because the Bunkers were hardly ever in the Jeffersons. They never really crossed over.
Right. They showed up a couple of times, and then they said, we're moving, because he got into a car. He got hit by a car. George Jefferson got hit by a car, and he used that money, the lawsuit money, to open up his first
dry cleaning place.
And then he bought 7 more, and then he went to his own.
Yeah, he's moving on up.
Moving on up, exactly.
To the east side, in a deluxe apartment in the sky.
So
high,
he was
high.
One of TV's first upper-income blacks. And despite the show's cancellation in 1985.
After 10 years.
11 years.
You can't call it a failure.
He reprised his role in 2 sitcoms. In the series finale of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in 1996. And an episode of Tyler Perry's House of Pain in 2011.
Really?
Where he was reunited with Marla Gibbs reprising her role as Florence.
Are you kidding?
No. So I missed that one. I remember the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air one. when they bought the house. I remember that.
So he bought the house? He bought their house?
He bought a house in Bel Air?
Yeah, he bought the Bel Air house.
That's moving way on up.
What they did was they had a couple of old characters show up to look at the house. They had Gary Coleman and Conrad Bain.
Really?
Yeah, looking at the house. And then the Jeffersons came into it and they bought the house.
Oh, I never saw that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I'll have to download that.
And
280,
let's see, finally, the saddest part.
Oh, there's sadder news than sadder. Those two? Wow.
There's sadder news, but
is this a death panel?
Yeah.
Well, we always end on
who
the...
Who died next?
We always end on the sad
If you take
news.
Any longer, somebody else is going to die.
Yeah. Well, so one of us...
could have another one.
I haven't eaten,
Wait,
so
well,
I'm starving.
Let me check the internet now. Let's troll for deaths.
So, man. So, obviously, we all know about the shooting in Colorado.
Yes.
But Christian Bale was seen in Colorado on Tuesday. He was visiting the victims of the shooting took place during the screening of the film Dark Knight Rises.
Congratulations to him.
Bale and his wife spent about 2.5 hours at the hospital visiting 7 patients, as well as several doctors, police officers, and EMTs who were first responders to the scene of the shooting. Christian Bale says, "Words cannot express the horror that I feel. I cannot begin to truly understand the pain and grief of these victims and their loved ones, but my heart goes out to them." And the executives from Warner Brothers says that there was not a ploy. They had nothing to do with it. They did not, you know, tell him to go. He went there of his own accord. And which also leads to, you know, the sad news that there was some crazy guy going around and he shot up a midnight showing of a Batman movie.
For no reason yet.
For undisclosed reason.
Yeah, for whatever reasons he has, it ain't going to do anything for us.
So, you know,
I think it'd be kind of hard to justify those actions.
No, it's not. I mean, it's not like he's going to explain it and we're going to go, okay, that's fine. Right.
Yeah,
so, but I mean, okay, no matter what he says, it's not going to not gonna do anything for us. It's not going to make any
you're
sense.
You're assuming that you'll even be able to understand the language. That
yeah,
he says
whatever.
That.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
weird, backward Martian.
That explains
he's
it all.
Freaking mind.
That explains it. They were actually aliens. You know, that's. You watch the movies where the people are like, oh, no one believes them, and then, you know, that could be the only...
Whatever. You let the aliens watch Batman, you know? You another way. The guy was a rocket scientist. He was a genius.
Yeah.
So you find another way to get rid of the aliens and to go and implicate yourself. We're not aware of the revolution because we just think he's a nut. So he's done nothing to
help out the cause.
Yeah, he's done nothing to help the human race. At all. So he failed us all. He failed the victims by being a D-bag, and he failed us by not alerting us properly to the fact that aliens are all over the place. He's the guy's
a D-lord. That was
He's a D-lord. D-lord. Yeah.
That was
a D-lord.
Yes.
Lord of the D.
Yeah. So he can go, man. He's useless to us. This society has no room for him. I don't care how smart he is.
And they're saying it's one of the one of the worst massacres at all. And just personally speaking, since I actually work at a movie theater, it boggles my mind how something like that can happen. Like you just going to see a movie.
Actually, working at your movie theater, it really doesn't boggle my mind too much how something like that can happen.
Well, I mean,
helped him because he came in from the back exit.
Stop and frisk these guys going into the movie theater? I mean,
well,
they do it.
Crazy.
They do it. Metal detector.
We have metal detectors at theater.
Well, that's a good thing.
Because,
this wouldn't have done anything because the guy came in from the back.
So yeah.
So there's no metal detectors at the exits.
That's true.
So he walked in the back with his shotguns and his two wrist pistols.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
he had an automatic mag.
Yeah.
So he could shoot 100 rounds in, I think it was 100 rounds.
Well,
in
he
like
had to get them
60 seconds
before they got him,
right?
Since they were obviously also all fairly armed and all had body armor on.
Right.
He had to take precautions. That's why he had to have smoke bombs to set up a smoke screen.
Who was armed?
Huh?
Who was armed?
The audience was apparently all armed. You know, so this guy had to pack heavy ordnance and camouflage and distracting what do you call that, paraphernalia, I guess, or weapons of concealment, so that he could kill as many people as possible before they all shot him.
Right, and then he just walked outside.
Where did that statement come from?
It's there. It's
that's me being sarcastic.
Yeah, well,
because obviously, when you're the room full of people waiting to see a movie, that's obviously a place
a
where you, that you need your...
It's a threatening situation,
right.
For sure.
Yeah, you need your Mark V, you know, to go in there and scatter everybody to the four winds. It's just... I mean, he could have done the same damage with a handgun. That's in Colorado. Like, who's got guns? Never mind. I don't have anything positive to say about it, and it will degenerate
it is,
until...
Like I said, it's mind-boggling, and it is... A huge tragedy for it to happen. Well, anywhere, you know, not just it happened in theater. Anywhere, if this happened anywhere is a bad thing. But the thing,
you know, the thing is,
I was at
a 12 o'clock show that night, and this it's not one of those it could happen to me. It could have been us. Yeah, of course it could have. Whatever. Anyway, you go. But the thing is, I remember what I had to go through that day to make sure that I was there on time for the 12 o'clock showing, which means that everybody in that theater had to plan that excursion early in the day, throughout the whole day. Right. Maybe in some cases weeks in advance.
You can just wake up. Oh,
yeah, it's not going to a 12 midnight show is not a. It's usually not a whim thing, and especially for a movie this anticipated. A lot of things were sold out long before. You know, you can't be there at 11:30 and go, you know what? I'm gonna go down to the local theater and just watch a flick. So these people had prepared for this. And they were looking forward to it. And I think there cannot be anything more benign for a group of people to do than to get together and watch a movie, just to sit down and watch a movie. All right? So as disgusting as a crime would be in any particular situation, for some reason to me, I find it extremely irritating. And, I mean, everything I have to say is an understatement. I find it, it boggles my mind that these people, that anybody could, as even deranged in that state, could believe that people deserved this kind of treatment
in that situation.
Yeah, in this particular situation, it astounds me. It confounds me that the thought of that, and I really have no positive thought about that particular person. I don't care what the story is. I don't care what the reasoning is. I do not care. It's just it is just beyond deplorable what happened there. You know, I mean, everything I have to say is an understatement.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing that caught my attention was that we're getting basically silence from the whole situation, from the police, from everyone who was there, the witnesses, the lawyers have been told to shut up and everything. But the only statement that really came out that seems to catch my attention that makes it even more despicable, more hateful, is the statement was that he shot into the crowd and said, "This is real," as though he wanted to shut down their ability to be able to have any kind of a fantasy at all, to be able to escape in any way. And he was mowing them down, killing them, showing them, this is what I'm doing to you, this violence I'm doing onto you is real.
Yeah, as if they needed a lesson in reality from him.
This guy was pretty far detached from reality, because people go to see films like that to escape.
Yeah,
because their lives have too much of that in it, and they want to be able to
That's why
live
they're
vicariously through the characters.
At 12 midnight to see the movie, because they want a dose of reality. You're not at a movie theater at 12 midnight to get it.
No, and the thing that catches my attention is that he bought loads of body armor over a span of two months off the internet. And, you know, you get that. You know, you get people that are, into guns or hunting or whatever. They want to buy their body armor. He also bought something like 6,000 rounds of ammunition in the span of a month. And he also wired his entire apartment with all these booby traps and bombs. You know, that takes time. This takes – he calculated. He thought this out. He spent his intellect and his income to actually attain this goal.
On destruction.
I hesitate to say whether or not this guy was insane or if he was shrewdly sane but a sociopath. Mm-hmm. Okay? And just the statement, "This is real," while he's mowing people down, it's a very, very disturbing thought, because how could you get that detached from society, from your people standing next to you, that you want to kill as many as you can, while at the same time having your body armor to protect you? And then the other scary thought is that when they got this guy and they went and took him to a holding cell, they went to the women's correctional facility. The police took him there because they wanted to avoid the media on purpose. And they put him into a chair. Okay, they strapped him down into a chair so they could take off his body armor, because he still was, wearing all of it. And the other disturbing thing that I heard was that he painted his entire body in bright red paint. really detached from reality, okay? Bright red paint underneath his body armor. So I'm venturing a guess here that since he was in he was studying neuroscience, that maybe he spent too much time with the bath salts and got way out there. But this man was completely detached. There was the psychotic break there somewhere, and his intellect was still there to be able to arrange this event. And it's disgusting to even call it an event, but he arranged this massacre.
I just like he's that out there and that gone, and he can still get in an arsenal. He can still, as long as he has a disposable income.
Money on the internet. You don't have to be there to spend money on the internet.
I just think, look, let's just come out and say it. Lunatics should not be allowed to buy guns for obvious reasons, you know? It's why we don't give machine guns to monkeys, you know, because they don't know what they're doing. So,
I still don't think a monkey would handle a machine gun the way this guy did.
Well,
they might shoot a couple bullets, but you know
they could be taught the sign language. They could probably shoot up if they were taught correctly. Especially you saw Rise of the Planet, yeah. But it's just to me.
We're talking about Caesar here, right?
Yeah, you know what? Like a handgun is a handgun. That's fine, but I don't know about these automatic weapons. I don't know about having the automatic weapons readily available. I won't debate that. I know everybody has feelings about that, but look, you guys, someone's buying an assault rifle, we should watch that guy. You know, I don't care why. Well, he's buying an assault rifle. Keep your eye on him.
Hassan, it's more than the assault rifle. This guy had a magazine. It was a 100-shot magazine that can shoot. It can shoot a bullet a second. Okay, if you want to look at what to do away with, what to outlaw,
get rid of the bullets.
That magazine doesn't really have any purpose
other than to kill rooms full of people.
To kill rooms full of people, or to completely mow down, you know.
A charging elephant. one or the other. Keep the guns. Get rid of the bullets. One or the other. But
make the bullets expensive.
No, yeah, it's hard for a lunatic to get his hands on a steamroller. You know, it's hard. There are difficulties.
Yeah, but they're slow too.
Difficulties. Like it's not. You know, people are like, well, where does it stop? You know, if we're gonna have to monitor these people. Yeah. Well, there's difficulties in committing mass murder. It's not an easy thing to do. The thing that really dumbs it down is an automatic assault rifle that you can use. You know, that has a hair trigger, and is user friendly basically with a couple of lessons. And then all of a sudden, rooms full of unarmed, innocent, and defenseless people are suddenly dead. So maybe, you know, since we can't seem to eliminate the lunatics because they're everywhere and they're in, you know, and there's one being made every few seconds, then maybe eliminating the means of their destruction or their destructive behavior is maybe a way to go with it. But, you know, and I don't want to rewrite everything and get rid of everything.
Maybe
I don't want to get rid of the Second Amendment. I'm not one of those people. But
maybe you want to link these two thoughts together. 6,000 bullets, body armor. That should raise some red flags.
It's that's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, hello? But no one's going to do that because we live in a consumer-based society. We live in a capitalist society, and any way you could make your money, it's not my responsibility what you do with the thing I sell you. I'm not privy to what else you've bought besides buying this, you know, this this nuclear fission, you know, generator that may or may not be, you know, manipulated and weaponized. You know, I don't know what else you've done. I don't know what your plans are. But look, I'm selling this. You know, at a markdown price, you can have it if you got the cash.
This reminds me of something, I'm going to say about 15 years ago. Go Video made a double-decker VCR when it was illegal to make copies of VCR, video cassette tapes. And it was programmed with a override that you could copy from one, you know, thing. And on the instruction booklet said, hey, You can copy.
Here's how it's done.
Copyright or protected material. And then it says, but don't do it. On the instruction book, I said, but don't do
but
it.
But please don't.
Just like when they were selling the radar detectors. You can detect the radar, but don't do it.
Yeah. Don't be caught with this. So, you know, don't be seen using
this. Yeah, this isn't for driving. This is for entertainment purposes only.
Yes.
That's what they were saying.
Because it's big fun going down the highway finding the speed traps. Oh, we found another one. Oh, this is just like playing Monopoly.
So that's just how it is, you know. Here's something, but don't do it. Don't do it. And as long as they say, don't do it.
Yeah.
They're okay.
And it's all right. Yeah. All right. Well, until, I don't know. I don't know. What are you going to do? You're going to have a capitalist society with scruples? It doesn't seem like the two work.
No, not at all.
You know? So someone's saying, I'm not going to sell this because it's ethically wrong. Yeah.
Somebody
then
else
the guy right next to him is like, well, I will. Because he won't.
With the internet, it doesn't really matter if you outlaw it. Here,
right? You gotta.
You could just buy it from Syria.
Buy it from, from China.
My friends in Syria, let me buy these.
Look.
These armor-piercing bullets that shoot 100, 100 bullets.
Yeah, but I mean, you seriously narrow those guys down, though. You know, there's always going to be. There's no way we're going to eliminate lunatics and crazy people and weapons and guns and stuff like this. Just no way we're going to be able to do that. But
so why can't I make the money? I love you.
See? Hey, then there's the thinking.
That's the capitalism.
And that's it.
That's it.
And that's it.
Capitalism.
That's how
we can't live without it. We can't live without it.
I don't want to live without it. I just wish there was, you know, I wish there was an incentive for people to not want to be part of massacres, you know, or to just be thinking, you know, a couple of steps, you know, beyond the immediate of right now.
Here's the thing is, we don't know what his motives were.
I don't care what his motives are.
And doesn't matter. Realistically, I very much doubt that what is going on in this guy's brain is, oh, I need fame and fortune. Because
this is what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying.
He's probably going to end up with a couple electrodes in both arms.
Yeah,
that's probably
great.
What's going to
happen. Good for him. But here's what I'm saying. Since we can't know where the lunatics are, and since we can't know what motivates a lunatic, and we can't know when a lunatic's going to strike next, the thing we can do is eliminate his ability to get weapons of mass destruction and use them on people who are not insane.
So take all the ricin off the internet? You can't buy ricin in a jar?
I'm not having that conversation. Yeah, I'm just saying that we should... there's something seriously wrong where someone who is that crazy can just go, I want an assault rifle for no reason. Yeah. Why not? You know? And I mean, all it takes is a slip up in several directions. I'm insane. I don't know how that happened, but it happened. I'm crazy.
I'll admit to something here.
You're insane. I'll sell you this gun. And then 2 seconds later, you're insane, but I'm going to let you in the back of this movie theater.
No.
And then look, 56 people shot.
I will admit to something here. I've had friends after a certain period of time show me the secret room where they've got every rifle and gun imaginable from the Civil War
attack.
All the way up.
But that's
okay?
a zombie attack,
you know,
though.
The room of guns, because that's what they're into. That's their thing. They like guns. Now, that particular person, I don't think is disturbed in the manner that this guy was. I mean, this guy, he obviously, there's something that snapped. There was some event that made him not normal anymore.
But that
it may
justify.
Have happened when he was 5. It may have happened last week. And I'm not trying to justify what he did. But there's a point where the general populace, not everybody is insane instantaneously and is insane their entire life. Something happens and they snap. And that's where it's really hard to catch these
psychopaths.
Well,
that's what they're saying. So it's not about catching them. It's just trying to minimize the damage that they can do.
Well, yeah. take away the toys that allow them to do the mass destruction.
Well, not even the toys, just take away the access. And you can leave the toys there. You can't make it as easily accessible. Maybe that would be the thing.
Like certain questions, like, you know, what color is the sky?
Is there a bunny?
After that kind of thing.
Before you make the purchase, it says, are you insane? You know? And then,
yes,
one of those.
Because insane people don't know how to answer that question.
Does Bugs Bunny talk to you?
Exactly.
Like, am I speaking to you right now? Like, oh, I don't know. And
when he gets like two out of the three of those questions wrong, don't sell him the freaking rifle.
Three simple questions.
You know, or don't give him the 60 pounds of ammunition.
I'd really like to be involved in making that test. If there's any way you can get me on
as
that
would
point.
No, because no one's going to let me be part of it. They're going to probably use me as a template for the test.
Can you spell the red room backwards?
Do you find an entire city evil? I'm like, oh, yes, I do. Maybe something.
Well, I've been there. I mean, all you have to do is go through the transit authority, the bridges and tunnels to get into Manhattan, and you will be in that situation where you think the whole city's evil.
So, actually, we're way past our break time, so we're going to take a break there, Trevor.
Oh, get a break.
Right back with Camp and Radio.
Breaks are cool.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
We'll be right back.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we're back where we came from. Radio.
Hi, Mark. What's up?
Chara speaking along with Hassan Godwin.
Yeah.
And our super special guest.
Super special.
Mark Maz from Atlas Unleashed Entertainment. Atlas Unleashed Comics.
Atlas Unleashed. There's no entertainment. There's no comics.
There's no entertainment or comics in Atlas Unleashed.
You guys don't have time for this.
No time for witty banter.
You got to get right into.
Yeah, it's true. So
making it worth his while to come all the way down here.
We got like.
So we want to talk about post-apocalypse.
Go ahead. You got 10 minutes to go there, Mark.
Well, I want to talk about Ali Mongo and the adventures in the apocalypse. Ali Mongo is about a skateboard surfing half human, half zombie teen 100 years in the future, where the world has been taken over by zombies. Not only has it been taken over by zombies, the zombie plague has affected every single person on the planet with type O blood. They all become zombies. Everyone else is still normal. But the way it happens, the whole origin story, is that NASA goes and steals a plant from the planet Guacamole. Yes, I know, it's great. And the plant that they steal, they think they're stealing the Fountain of Youth, but what they steal instead are the red seeds from the Zips plant, which infects the planet with the zombie plague. Now, the cool thing here is you have a bunch of skateboarding teens in the future.
Because they're always hip.
Yeah. Hanging out around Asbury Park, where they live. And the zombies have now been, the government has passed the Zombie Act. They all have civil rights, but they've also changed the zombies in a way so that they have a different diet. They've gotten them off eating flesh.
Wow, so.
So what you essentially have are bullies that stammer along. They're kind of like, they're hangers-on society. They have their own kind of civic ideas of what they want to do, and it's how do you integrate a world that's got all these zombies in it, and the rest of us, and these skateboarding teens, they are the zombie chasers. They go around and they have their adventures. It's has kind of a feel of like Johnny Quest. And also some of a feel of like Scooby-Doo mixed together, where they're in this world. They're trying to find their place in it. The lead character, Ali Mongo, is half zombie and half human. And in fact, he has abilities that are different than just a human boy or a zombie boy would have. He actually has heightened senses. He's faster, he has better agility, but he also has issues. He has issues trying to integrate in society, trying to fit in. He has his friends, which are the zombie chasers, the other kids that hang out with him, and they do the double D loop in Asbury Park, and you know they're trying to get away from Vinny Stitch, another student, a zombie student in their class. So it's really a very fun kind of world set in this post-apocalyptic environment.
Unless you're a zombie.
Not fun for the zombies.
Well, the zombies, they're bullies. That's really what it matters.
And they deserve it.
And the neat thing is that this is a concept that was developed by Arlene Klotsky and Craig Singer.
Nicely done, Arlene and Craig.
Yep. And Arlene and Craig came up with the concept. They asked me to write the first story and the origin story based on their concept and their designs. So I did a 16-page comic that debuted at San Diego Comic-Con. I also did an 8-page digital segment, which you can find off their Facebook page, which is Ali Mongo. That's their Facebook page.
Spell it. Ali Mongo, spell it.
O-L-L-I-E, Mongo, okay. M-O-N-G-O.
Trust me, it's important.
It's expensive. Oh, yeah, because I was thinking a different cell entirely.
Completely. And I'd really love it if you all went to the Facebook page, liked it. Look up Arlene's company, Klasky Kasupo. I'll spell it K-L-A-S-K-Y, next word, C-S-U-P-O. Okay, and tell us what you think. So it's this has been pretty good, Mark.
So I think we're going to have other Mark back.
I agree.
Because second I got Mark. So many questions, and I have time for none of them.
Almost none of them.
So we are almost out of time. Final thought? Websites?
Oh, websites. AtlasUnleashed.com. We'll be at New York Comic Con, booth 2447, October 11th through the 14th. I hope to see you all there. And it's been a pleasure
and we
being
will have,
on
we
It
will
Came
have,
From the Radio.
We will have Mark back. I promise you that because I got some questions. So that about does it for this week on It Came From the Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGV. If you miss any part of the show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromtheradio.com, and the archives will be up in a week or so. We will see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.